We here are all such innovative people. So I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that.
And I am doing this. What is this, you might ask? Well, this is the podcast known as What's the Good Word. I am your very humble host, Joshua Julian. I'm bringing you the one-stop shop for anything and everything related to Atlanta sports, Falcons, Braves, Georgia Tech, Atlanta Hawks. It is all here. We are like a buffet for the Atlanta sports fan, and ideally, you will enjoy what you're seeing out of this. I will be honest, I am probably enjoying doing this a lot more than I enjoyed watching the Falcons on draft night, that's for sure, but we'll get into that. As you can imagine, with what happened over the weekend, the topic of conversation on this episode, this is the Falcons episode of the week, the topic of conversation here is going to be very simple. It's going to be the Atlanta Falcons NFL draft recap, rewind. Everything will be coming together, and we'll talk a lot, and I mean a lot, about what happened this fateful day. And I say fateful day, I do not say that lightly. It is going to be a very fateful day for this franchise, because this is going to be the draft that we look back on and, you know, in the future, we're going to look back on this draft class, and it is either going to be the beginning of the end of the Terry Fontenot era, or it is going to be the pinnacle, or the what put us on the path to what we hoped we would be. And it all starts in the first round. Just hopping right into it. The Falcons with the number 8 overall pick. And on this show, you know, I was very, very confident that the Falcons were going to be taking a edge rusher, a cornerback, a wide receiver maybe. Oh, no, 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 ladies and gentlemen. In case you've been living under a rock, the Falcons went with Michael Penix Jr., out of Washington, the University of Washington, 6'2", 216-pound quarterback. Last year, put up 4,648 passing yards, 35 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Also ran for 3 TDs, 66% completion percentage. He did spend the first 4 years of 4 years of his college career at Indiana. He transferred to Washington in 2022, where he became, you know, a very good starter. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist this past year, put up really good numbers the year before. He was a 2022 All-America third team and a 2023 All-American first team. 43 career starts, 4 season-ending injuries when he was in Indiana, 2 ACL tears, an AC joint separation in each shoulder. So it wasn't just injuries, it was injuries that he had had before. That's kind of the main concern. When you look at his scouting report, the strengths you'll see, he's got great arm strength, best deep ball in the class. That's a pretty widely held consensus. And he's got great accuracy on it too, right? He drops it in the bucket, jump ball situations, looks to push it down the field, does show the ability to progress, did have some NFL concepts in his scheme that he was playing in at Washington, and also had some athleticism, I think he ran like a 4.6 40 at some point. The issue is, he's only a one-speed thrower. He doesn't have arc, doesn't necessarily have touch sometimes, and his accuracy to the short and intermediate areas are just not the greatest. So he's a great deep ball guy, but it's the shorter stuff that he kind of struggles with. And you saw it in the Michigan game, his response to pressure is not good. His mechanics will break down, he'll get a little jumpy, his accuracy gets even worse. Whenever there's bodies around him in the pocket, he struggles. And he's sometimes just a little bit late to trigger. So like he's able to progress across like his reads, right? But sometimes he's just a little late to pick up on which read he should be going with. So that's the main stuff with Michael Penix. He was a great college football quarterback. I thought he was an interesting mid-round quarterback prospect. I did not think he was a top 10 pick, and I don't think anybody did. The reports have said that the Falcons saw him as the number 2 quarterback in the class, and even if you believe that, that's fine. There's a lot of issues I have with this pick, and I'm going to try to go pick by pick. Once we get towards the end, I won't talk about it too much. Since this is the day 1 pick, it gets the longest segment. I do not understand. Actually, no, you know what? That, to scratch that, I do understand. I understand what the Falcons are going for here. They are trying to do the Green Bay model, the Kansas City model. They're trying to get their future quarterback, like future franchise quarterback, while they currently have a quarterback who can provide and play at a capable level. And that makes sense. Like, that's not opposable. It's actually really good forward thinking, which is something you don't get a lot of in the NFL. But when you use the Green Bay and the Kansas City model and you use that as your comparison, you're leaving out a very important difference. Both Kansas City and Green Bay had won the previous year. Kansas City had to move up like crazy for Patrick Mahomes. They had to move up from like the back end of the first round. And both times Green Bay did this, they were picking in the 20s. They had been to the playoffs. They had been to NFC Championship games. They had few, if any, holes. Or at least holes that they probably could just fill in the back parts of the draft. So they were like, we're going to go ahead. I mean, so the first time the Packers did it, Aaron Rodgers fell. He was supposed to be a top 5, top 10 pick that year. He fell to the 20s. So they were like, well, we're just going to go ahead and hop on that distressed asset and, you know, we'll go with it there. Jordan Love was a guy that they took. They're like, okay, he's young. He hasn't played a ton of football, but he's got a lot of tools. If we give him 2 years, 2.5 years sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, then we'll be okay, right? Like, he will have time to grow. And so if he doesn't grow, it is what it is. We'll figure something else out from there. But we like what we see. We think we can work with him. We're going to build it there. Notice, neither time did either of those teams even use a top 10 pick. And one of the Kansas City one, they had to trade up for that pick. They traded up for Patrick Mahomes. The Falcons took pick number 8, and they took the fourth quarterback of the draft. And regardless of what you felt about him as a prospect, again, none of what I'm about to say reflects on Michael Penix as a player. I liked Michael Penix. I thought he would be an interesting guy to take in the second round. The Atlanta Falcons had too many holes on their team, I think, to take Michael Penix at number 8. You did not have a pass rusher at that point. Your two leading pass rushers from last year are still on the free agent market, and they don't necessarily fit in the scheme or enough to where you want to re-sign them. You don't have a cornerback, too, unless you want to go with the 5'9 Clark Phillips, who I think he showed last year. You probably need to move him to the nickel and let him work there. You do not have a wide receiver, too, or at least a wide receiver, too, that I would trust. I like Darnell Mooney. He can operate as a wide receiver, too. I would prefer to have another wide receiver to have out there to at least move around with him so that then you aren't relying on Ray McCloud or, you know, Rondale Moore to be your number 3 receiver. You could move them back into more complementary pieces. You could even make an argument that the Falcons could have used a tackle. I mean, Caleb McGarry isn't the greatest. We don't know what Caleb McGarry is going to look like in this offensive scheme. He's always been a great run blocker, not a great pass blocker. So is he going to struggle in a more spaced out pass-centric offense? Jake Matthews has been very good. He's been a rock on the left side. Jake Matthews is getting older. Jake Matthews is coming due. I mean, the bell will eventually toll on Jake Matthews' career. So getting somebody that you could potentially replace out there would have been a defensible pick. Even taking, you know, a D lineman. There's a ton of D linemen on this team. We're moving to a 3-4, but even taking somebody that could kind of move up and down, right? Like a Byron Murphy type, you could play on the end. That would have been defensible. Taking a quarterback when you have not made the playoffs in half a decade and you haven't had a winning season in forever, the Chiefs and the Packers were planning for the future because they were winning now. They had good rosters already. They didn't have a ton of holes. And you're like, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and plan for the future just in case. The Falcons are planning for the future when the present hasn't been planned for. The Atlanta Falcons just threw $100 million guaranteed at Kirk Cousins to be our quarterback for, at most, the next 4 years. I don't understand why you then take a quarterback in the first round. And I know you get the fifth-round option, but if Kirk Cousins plays all 4 years of his contract, you're going to have to decide on that option before you've seen Michael Penix play a down of regular season football. It just doesn't make sense. It sounds like you're putting the cart before the horse. You plan for the future when you're a playoff team and you want to keep that going. We're not going to be doing that anytime soon. And the 2025 quarterback class isn't the greatest on paper right now. First of all, we don't know because people could emerge, people could break out. And on top of that, if it's not the greatest, that means you have a shot at getting somebody with your back end first round pick. And I know that they don't necessarily use a third round pick on a quarterback again because it didn't work with Desmond Ridder. I don't know how much of that was it didn't work with Desmond Ridder and how much of that was just a horrendous quarterback class because the first round pick in that class didn't work out. No quarterback from that 2022 class has worked out. So I think it was less Desmond Ridder and more of just there was just not a lot of talent in that class. But either way, if you're going to be planning for the future, the idea is you close up all your holes now. And then next year, if you want to trade up for a quarterback of the future, you can then use some of your assets currently because you don't have as many holes because you've closed them all up. If Michael Penix becomes successful, then I will eat every single word that I have said for the past 4 minutes. But I do not understand planning for the future when your present is still unsettled. That's my issue. Your present is still unsettled. You haven't made the playoffs. You don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to look like coming back from the Achilles injury. There's too many holes on this team to plan for the future already, especially with a guy that has multiple questions on his profile as to if he will be a successful NFL quarterback. I think he's got a shot. I don't think he's going to be bad, but I don't know if he's worth a top 10 pick. I don't think he's going to be great, but he'll at least have time to learn. So we'll see. It's always going to be a wait and see. That's true for almost every draft pick. I just don't agree with the reasoning at this moment in time. Moving on to day two. The Falcons made another decision that I did not understand. They moved up 8 spots from number 43 to number 35, traded their other third-round pick to get there, and they moved into the 6th round. So they picked up an extra 6th-round pick, and they gave up their second third-round pick, number 79. So they moved back 100-something spots to move up 8, and they took Ruke Orororo out of Clemson. 6'4", 294, defensive lineman, ran a 4.8940. This past season, registered 8 tackles for loss and 5 sacks, which is the vast majority of his college production. He did only play high school football for 2 years. He's originally from Lagos, Nigeria. And he had off-season shoulder surgery in 2023, missed spring practice, played the whole year, though, wasn't a big concern. Did also have meniscus surgery in 2020, but other than that, not a ton of injuries. Only had 12 sacks throughout his entire college career. But he's a great athlete. He's got the size, the strength, and the athleticism, high ceiling, real good get-off, good acceleration at the line of scrimmage, especially for a guy his size, good leverage, good upper body strength when taking on blocks, does not get moved one-on-one a lot, agility, good running of his feet. He doesn't necessarily get reached by run blockers, good bull rusher right now, hand placement, leverage, leg drive. And there's good strength and hip mobility there. It's just he's still learning how to use his hands. He's still really raw. There's going to be a lot of coaching that needs to be done with Orororo. Will get kicked inside by double teams. Ideally, you're playing him out on the edge, especially on rundowns. So that won't necessarily be the biggest issue. And he also needs to be more violent getting off his blocks. He did have like a second or third round, like late second, early third grade on him compared to David Onyemata. So Falcons picked up another type of David Onyemata, which is interesting when you have David Onyemata, but regardless. I like the player. He was a guy that I had highlighted doing my homework on this draft. I did like kind of what he offered. I think he can kick up and down the line. You can play him like inside on pass downs and outside on rundowns. There's a lot to work with here. If a team is supposedly in win-now mode like the Falcons are, one, don't necessarily understand taking a guy that's so raw that probably will not contribute a ton for you until like year two or three. And also, I don't understand trading up. Now, in all fairness, they traded up, and there are a lot of D linemen taken in the next couple picks, so I guess they were like, we're going to go get our guy. I just don't like using a third-round pick there to move up. I feel like that was the asset management there wasn't the greatest. And if you were going to move up for a D lineman, personally, I would have moved up for Johnny Newton. I would have moved up for Michael Hall. I would have taken those guys ahead of Ruke. But Ruke, undoubtedly, I think does have a higher like overall athletic ceiling than those two guys. Johnny Newton's much closer to his ceiling, and his ceiling is also comparable. So that's who I would have gone with. But you know that then we're picking nits. They got their guy. There's depth on the D-line. Other day two pick, Braylon Trice out of Washington. Another guy that I really liked. He doesn't have the greatest athleticism. He's 6'4", 245, ran a 4.72 40-yard dash, had a 32-inch vertical, so he's not very explosive. He's not super quick, but he's physical, strong at the point of attack, real good with block recognition,
great strength to shed blocks. He's a pure power rusher, turns speed to power, feet stays moving. He's got a great motor, makes a ton of hustle plays the hands, defeats the hands to defeat the man. He's just not quick twitched. He doesn't have the greatest change of direction. Stiff hips, stiff ankles. He's not going to bend. Basically, don't get focused on what he's not. He's not a super athletic edge rusher. He's not going to bend the corner. He's not going to destroy people with speed. He is strong and he is a hustle guy. I don't think he's going to be a number one pass rusher. But I mean, this past year at Washington, 11 and a half tackles for loss, 7 sacks, no major injuries. He's been productive at Washington for a while now. Been around, you know, he's, currently 23, so he's an older guy, but ready to come in and play right away. You at least got a guy that you can add to your edge rotation. He was a guy that I had kind of looked at and been like, I'm partial to power rushers, so I circled him pretty early. Moving to day three, Brandon Dorlus was the fourth round pick out of Oregon, 6'3", 283, ran a 4.85 40. This past year, he had 6.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 9 passes defended, which is impressive for a defensive lineman. Did have a shoulder injury in 2022, but other than that, nothing really notable. He's got a good blend of strength and movement skills, solid get off on the snap, arm over move when he's rushing the passer to run around the edges, clears his lower half. He does have strength as well, good bull rush, and there is some pop in his hands. He's just inconsistent, not very physical at the point of attack just yet. The pad level isn't the greatest. Block recognition can be a little late, especially when he's a run defender. And the biggest weakness is kind of highlighted is he's a tweener with his body type and his skill set. He looks like an interior defensive lineman, but he plays more like an edge guy. Similar to Ruke, I think the Falcons will move him up and down. Compared to Justin Madubuike, which is a great comparison for a dude with a third-round grade on him, he lined up as an edge in Eugene, but he could be a good option as a 4-eye or 5 technique defensive end in odd fronts. So I think that the Falcons will use him out or as a defensive end, potentially kick him inside if they need to. So again, similar to Ruke, don't know if he'll go inside as much, but definitely as a defensive end, kind of hand in the dirt guy. But there's plenty of room. He's a little older, but there is some level of it. You just kind of got to work on some technical aspects, specifically, you know, working with the hands, working on get off and violence at the point of attack. The fifth round, the Falcons took a linebacker out of Notre Dame, JD Bertrand. If you'll notice, the Falcons did go defense with like the rest of their picks, which I applaud them for. But JD Bertrand, 6'1", 235 linebacker out of Notre Dame, led the team in tackles the last 3 years, had 76 this year with 7.5 tackles for loss. He has had some injuries, but he only missed a game here or there, nothing too crazy. He was a team captain. He was communicating. He did the pre-snap stuff. So experience in the middle, physical run defender, knows how to throw his body around, a lot of pop behind those pads, good at reading zone runs. There's good lateral movement to work over the top, and he's good at reading the quarterback's eyes and anticipating throws. He is 24. He is undersized, and he does have short arms. He does lack strength and sand in his pants to hold ground. If he goes against the offensive lineman, if they get to him first, if they get the initial contact, he will kind of get washed out, get stuck on blocks, doesn't have the greatest sideline-to-sideline speed, and he does dive at ball carrier's feet, has some missed tackles on his resume. But otherwise, I mean, it looks like a good, solid run defender. I imagine he'll kind of pair up with Nate Landman as the rundown guy. So with those picks, the Falcons really addressed the main holes on defense other than cornerback. I assume that they'll be looking for some free agents. I also assume we'll talk about that a little bit later, but Falcons at least filled some holes, right? They got one more middle linebacker, so they've got four guys that could feasibly play. Bertrand will probably end up as a special teams ace at first, but four guys that can realistically play and they all have a role. A lot of reinforcements on the D-line, which I love, plus the edge rusher. Fantastic stuff from there in the day two and the early day three picks. Just cannot stand the fact that the day one was a quarterback, but I've had my rant. So I expect Braylon Trice, I expect Brandon Dorlus, and I expect Ruke to an extent to play pretty significant roles on the defense this next year. Don't know if they'll be like every down starters, but they'll at least work their way in. Now, in the sixth round, the Falcons had three picks. Going to hit these real quick. Falcons took a running back with the first one, Jace McClellan out of Alabama. Going to be honest, don't necessarily understand what we're doing here. he's okay. He's just not very explosive. He's got decent vision. He's decent at, you know, getting where he needs to be. Basically everything on his profile is good, not great, or steady, or above average. There's nothing that is elite. And so I don't know if Jace will really make the team as anything more than a depth guy, maybe as like a just in case, but I don't think he will play much of a role for the Falcons. The Falcons then took wide receiver Casey Washington out of Illinois. I also don't expect Casey Washington to do too much. He's 201 pounds, 6'1", ran a 4.46 40-yard dash. He had his career year this past year, 49 passes for 670 yards, 4 touchdowns, but he hadn't done a ton before that. I didn't really see him most anywhere that you looked about if he would be like a Falcon, like a draft pick. So I imagine it's more depth than anything, maybe a guy that'll be on special teams. He played in 55 games at Illinois, was there for 5 seasons, 1,500 yards total. So close to half of his yards came from last season. So he did not play a ton. As a junior, for example, he played in 13 games, had 31 catches for 306 yards. So he's been kind of around. Again, I don't expect him to be much more than depth, similar to like Frank Darby has been for the last couple years. And then the final 6th-round pick was Zion Luge out of Georgia. Not 100% sure how to say his last name, but defensive tackle, another guy to add to the D-line. He's mostly he didn't play a ton at Georgia because, you know, there's a ton of great defensive linemen at Georgia. Good size and length, doesn't really read block movement, finds himself on the wrong side of move blocks, doesn't have a go-to skill necessarily. He can be a full-time two-gapper, so I imagine he'll be a rotational guy as like a run defender. There isn't a ton of pass rush in him. Didn't get a lot of pass rush stats at college, so I imagine he'll just kind of be a run stopper as a defensive end, and there for rotational purposes only and exclusively. But that'll be the main. That is it for the Falcons draft class. Overall thoughts, like I said, the middle part of the draft from rounds 2 to 5, most picks are defensible. I liked most of those prospects. Ruke, once again, I think he could be good. There's a lot that has to go right for him to be really good. And there were better guys available, right? There were better guys available. I would have taken Johnny Newton, but if they really liked what they saw in Ruke, then I can't argue with it necessarily. Again, Braylon Trice, Brandon Dorlus, and JD Bertrand, I think, are 3 decent picks. At least will play the roles that you need them to play. No real reason to be worried. As for any other additions, the Falcons could make some cuts. I imagine Taylor Heinicke will get cut. I don't understand why the Falcons would pay him $7.5 million to be the third string, necessarily, unless you really don't think Michael Penix is ready to be backup, which is even worse. If you think he's not even a backup quarterback right now, then why spend the top 10 pick? Never mind. So I imagine he'll get cut. The Falcons will have some money if they cut him, as well as, you know, other guys that might get cut here and there. Some of the corners that are available in free agency, Steven Nelson is one of the big ones. He's been around, he's bounced around to a bunch of different teams, but he's consistently been a starter on teams like the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Eagles, the Texans. He's always kind of gotten his snaps. I imagine he'll get some calls. The Falcons, I think they need some depth at the cornerback position. The most notable one is Xavien Howard is still available. He got cut to Miami, cut him to save $18.5 million in cap space. But he's been fully cleared for football activities after an injury. He yielded 6.8 yards per target last season, only 1 touchdown on 62 targets. There's also Stephon Gilmore out there. I would imagine he also gets a call. Those are the main ones. I mean, the biggest thing is the cornerback position, right? Safety, you've still got Jesse Bates, Richie Grant, DeMarco Hellams. They seem to be the main 3. Linebacker, you've now got 4. You got a ton of guys on the defensive line. Maybe you add one more guy to the edge rotation. Depends on what you really feel about D'Angelo Malone. And then on offense, they've added their wide receivers. They've got offensive linemen, unless they want to add some depth guys on the O-line. They've got the tight end room. I mean, the main one is going to be cornerback. If the Falcons make any additions, it will be cornerback. But that's going to do it for today's episode. I got my rant out. I can't agree with the pick. I do not agree with the pick. You had your choice of the defensive prospects. I would have taken Leia Tulatu.
I would have taken Quinion Mitchell. I would have taken Terrion Arnold, Dallas Turner. I would not have taken Michael Penix at number eight. But again, if Michael Penix becomes our franchise savior and we go to a Super Bowl when he's the quarterback, I will publicly apologize for every single one of the things I have said about him right here on this podcast. Once again, like the player, hate the draft pick allocation, hate the decisions right there. But that's going to do it for this episode. It's not going to do it for What's the Good Word this week. We will have the Georgia Tech episode, the Braves episode, the Hawks episode. I didn't talk about the Hawks this past week. There's just not much to talk about with the NBA NBA playoffs going on. But we'll start talking about them again this week. So stay tuned for the rest of the shows if that's what you're looking for. If you're only a Falcons fan, thank you for tuning in. And the only one way to end the show, as always, it's a very simple question. You should know the answer by now. If not, Google it, ask a Tech fan. They'll explain to you what you should be saying. Even though the Falcons did draft a guy from the answer to this question, the question still stands. What's the good word?